Hey, good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you there at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone line and the email machine and the tweet device or however you care to communicate. You can reach us 414-1234, the local number in Tallahassee. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. And we have an email address, of course, perspectives@wfsu.org. And we also do some tweeting as well. And we'll tell you about that here in just a moment. I think we're going to have our young tweet master coming in just a little bit here. By the way, before we get going, and this is a program that is concerning veterans and veterans issues today, a reminder that coming up this Saturday, which is March 30th, the day before Easter Sunday, at 8:30 in the morning for early birds, it is Operation Thank You, a Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans event that's taking place in downtown Tallahassee at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. That's near the corner of South Monroe Street and Appalachia Parkway and is directly across from the historic Old Capitol, Leon County hosting its 2013 Operation Thank You to honor and recognize the service of Vietnam-era veterans. So if you are or were involved in that combat and would like to kind of have a reunion of sorts with brothers and sisters who also served at that time. Great opportunity to do that. On to today's show. There is coming up next weekend. Actually, it's April 5th through the 7th at the North Florida Fairgrounds. A first for Leon County, an event that has been done in other parts of the country, specifically San Diego, California, and we'll talk about the genesis of all that here in just a moment, but providing services, kind of welcome home services, if you will, to veterans of all kinds. And we wanted to bring on some of the prime organizers of that event to speak with us today and also to invite your input as well. So we welcome first Washington J. Sanchez, Jr., stand-down program director and associated with the Florida Veterans Foundation, Incorporated. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
We also say hi to Bob Streeter, Army Vet, Deputy Director of the Florida Veterans Foundation as well. And Reverend, we welcome you to the microphones too.
And God bless you, and it's a great day today.
And an old radio guy, you tell me, huh?
I don't have that golden voice like you. I wish I had your voice.
Well, gentlemen, we wanted to bring you in to talk about the Stand Down event. Let's begin with that, how it all got started. Washington, what was this thing all about, and how did it kind of get kicked off there in San Diego?
Well, actually, in 1988, a group of individuals that's from the Vietnam era, Vietnam Village, as a matter of fact, started the program. It started as a three-day program at a high school baseball field. And it was their ideas to bring the veterans in an area that's more in conjunction with the way they lived in the military, that is to put them in tents as opposed to a hard structure building and have everybody provide services from that location. And it kicked off very well. I think they had 300 or 400 the first year, and it has grown since then to over 1,000. And the interesting thing about it is that the military supported it very well in terms of the local base there, a Navy base there. And the community really supported it very, very well. And now they are up to as many as 2,500 volunteers. And that's the kind of operation we're looking to see eventually in Tallahassee area.
Well, that's coming up next weekend again, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th at the North Florida Fairgrounds. But who came up with the idea to bring that whole concept here? Where did that come from?
It came from a combination of the foundation. An individual by the name of John Haynes has been running the foundation as a chairperson for quite some time. And he sort of induced me to become a part of the foundation and sort of seeded the idea that we need to have a stand-down, which I knew nothing about at the time. And we were thinking about a one-day stand-down, a sort of a service day type thing that's held through most part of Florida at this time. Well, it so happened that I met and got to know two ladies, one by the name of Dina Green Corbett and another lady by the name of Corman Trowell. They met me, I think it was right after one of the holidays. I'm not sure exactly what. And we sat and we talked, and they started talking about the San Diego three-day stand now. And they said, it was a good manual. There's a whole manual that will tell you exactly how to conduct it and what have you. I said, okay. I'll take a look at it and see what I think about it. And if we can possibly do it, because we want to do a stand now, let's try to do it. And so it started from there. And we started putting the pieces together and started talking to different groups, and it was just off and running from there.
Reverend Bob Streeter, you were in the Army, I believe, weren't you?
Yes, I had the opportunity to serve in Europe.
Okay. For the non-military amongst us here, what the heck is a stand-down? What does that mean?
Well, the term stand-down is used in the military during the time of war to remove exhausted combat units requiring time to rest and recover from the battlefield to a place of relatively security and safety. And today, stand-down is basically referred to as a grassroots, community-based intervention program designed to help this nation estimate 67,000 homeless veterans combat, in quotes, life on the streets. And my role basically as a public relations is to work in conjunction with all of the social services that have literally collaborated together, private businesses, public businesses, mom-and-pop businesses. All of them have heard the Claritin call to help our veterans. And there's a powerful quote as being clergy. There's a powerful quote by Mother Teresa. She said, if there's a problem in society, we fail to realize that we belong to one another. And when you think about it, we really belong to one another, these men and women that serve this country so gallantly. And freedom is not free. And now that they are coming back, we have to help them with that process of knowing that, number one, they are appreciated. Number two, to keep hope. Because if someone loses hope, there's a war that they feel they cannot win in society. So we are trying to initiate compassion, hope, the needed services for our veterans, and let them know that we are there for them. And we have open arms to welcome them for their due service for this great nation.
Washington Sanchez, we're sitting here talking, and I can't help but notice you have a Purple Heart, which you wear proudly on your jacket. How did that happen?
Well, it happened in Vietnam, and I'm so happy and proud to see that this community, the county, is beginning to recognize on a routine basis veterans, and will recognize Vietnam veterans. I was wounded in 1965 in Vietnam while serving with the 1st Cav Division. And I was actually shot in an ambush. And so I know exactly how it feels to be in close combat, to be in a situation where you're frightened and you are at the verge of losing your life, really, what it amounts to.
And whereas today we seem to be, at least those of us who are civilians, a bit more enlightened, perhaps a bit more compassionate when it comes to returning veterans from Afghanistan, the recent combat in Iraq, that sort of thing. When you came back from Nam, it was a different type of situation, wasn't it?
No, it was horrible, really. It really was, because from the first place, you came back alone. You came back on a freedom flight, as we would call it, to the world of the big PXs, and you were by yourself. You literally got off a plane, and you had to find your way from in my case, from Seattle, Washington, back to Florida. And it was so bad that you didn't wear a uniform. You know, as proud as I was to have served and still serving, because I did not, you know, get out of service. I served for 28 years. I was literally afraid to wear my uniform, because in the California area, in that area, Washington State, I mean, people may spit on you, you know, attack you as if you were the enemy. And we just fought the enemy. You know, we come back and we're fighting them again. You know, and so it was not pleasant at all.
So there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of veterans from the Vietnam era still alive today. who have not forgotten and perhaps have not healed.
That's true. And I don't think some of them will. And that's why of the 1.6 million veterans in the state of Florida, I'd say one of the reasons, not the only reason, why the 1.6 million veterans in the state of Florida, only about 400,000 of them are participating with VA today. A lot of them want no part of anything dealing with the service or the veteran affairs. And it's really sad because we're talking about 1.2 million veterans who could be getting needed services and their families, and they do not want to participate. One of the benefits that we will have with the stand down is that we are trying to get other veterans to take part as volunteers, volunteers who will be escorts, volunteers who will be buddies. So when a veteran come in, if he's from the Navy, there'll be a veteran there that will be able to talk to him about Navy talk, you know, as say to speak of the Army or the Air Force. Moody Air Force Base, for an example, sending down 37 active duty troops on Saturday the 6th, and just to be a part of what we're doing. And I think that's fantastic because a lot of our veterans that are getting out right now are having a more difficult time getting back into society than we did from the Vietnam era.
Yes, because we were saying even before we started, with Vietnam, unless you re-upped, it was won and you're done.
That's right.
And here it's this redeployment and this, you know, this whole stop loss thing. And so it's kind of like you keep going back until your number comes up.
Unfortunately.
And
that's probably true.
And so is this then in some ways even more stressful, Washington, than what you went through in
life? Absolutely, because as we talked a little bit earlier, post-traumatic stress is real. It's real. I mean, it's not a philosophy. It's not something that someone is playing games with, what have you. When you see an IED and your buddy blows up in a vehicle in front of you, that event, that traumatic event, will never leave you. And when you go back, you're thinking that might be you the next time around. And when you go back again, some of these young people have been back 3, 4, 5 different times. And that competitive deployment, I know, because I served a second time in Vietnam after being wounded. And I want to tell you, I did not necessarily want to go back.
We're talking about the upcoming Homeless Veterans Stand Down in North Florida Fairgrounds here on Perspectives. Give us a call. A safe haven for veterans returning in many cases from the front years after the fact. The Homeless Veterans Stand Down coming to the North Florida Fairgrounds April 5th, 6th, and 7th, giving homeless and at-risk veterans a hand up and not a handout. Two of the prime organizers of that event, Washington Sanchez and Reverend Bob Streeter, here with us on Perspectives this morning. 414-1234, local number, it's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. And Reverend Streeter, let's talk about what you guys need. Now, you've had this thing organized. This was, several months ago, we went up to the 22nd floor of the Capitol, and there was all kinds of folks there from various and sundry veterans organizations, and it was the announcement that this was coming, and all kinds of hoo-ha. And now here it is. We're right on the verge, just a little bit more than a week away. So you got it all ready to go. All
yes,
planned. You don't need anything else, right?
Oh, yes. We need something else. Right now, pick up it. As they say in school, pick up your paper and pen, start to tweet right now. This is what we need. We need flip-flops of all sizes for showering because, as you know, when they come from the environment that they have lived in, when most of them in the wooded areas, they have to be, quote, cleaned up and showered and presentable. We need new socks of all sizes, new underwear for the men and women, mostly the men, new sports bras for women, new or used clothing of any type for the men and women. And I must say this, Tom, the community has been so gracious. We have spoken with clerical leaders in the area, and they have put the word out, and folks are giving clothes. But we need volunteers now to put their hands to folding them and arranging them for that. Also, we need personal toilet items, soap, lotion, backpacks, which is very important because we're going to give them information and something that they can have from this great experience, blankets and any type of item that that we need. Please contact Beth. Is it Beth? Super Beth?
Gail.
Thank you, Colonel. Gail. Well, we have another Beth that's working well. But Gail, you know who you are. She's a trooper there at the fairground. She's an organizer. Just a person of sterling character and putting everything together. And also in charge of the Stand Down volunteer registration, you can contact Carmen Trammell, and her number is 491-9612. Also, you can contact Lisa Moody, and her number is 521-5700, extension 1235. That's 850-521-5700, and ask for Lisa. And we are in need of heavy extension cords, but what we are in need of more, if you can help us out with that litany of lists that I just shared with you, we really appreciate it, because we're going to be providing 2 nights of sleeping accommodation, bus passes. We have a collaborative partnership with Star Metro, 3 hot meals, which is very important. And as I mentioned before, we're going to have haircuts for the men and hair treatment for the women as well.
Terrific. Let's see if David is on line here. Let's see. We got him? No. Well, we'll see if we can get to him here in just a moment once we get that fixed up. I'm thinking also my daughter used to do an awful lot of business traveling, and she would come back just loaded down with all of the little complimentary shampoos and conditioners and stuff like that. And I know a lot of us have drawers literally overflowing with these things. Could you guys use that too?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. We could use that. And we're also, for those of you at the airport, if you'd like to make a contribution in that area, you can do that as well. We really appreciate it.
Okay. David left us a little comment here via email. He's a Vietnam vet, Washington, and he wanted to talk about the Agent Orange roster. What's that? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, somewhat. But if he wants to know more about that, he can come out to the Stand Down as a volunteer. We'll have a specific briefing on that from a veteran service officer. They are the ones that really should be able to tell him in more detail exactly what all of the, I say, benefits now and the disability conditions that exist based on the fact that Agent Orange was throughout the country of Vietnam. If you step in Vietnam for one day, 1 foot in Vietnam, you are exposed to Agent Orange. And so you need to know there are conditions that are known to be caused by exposure to Agent Orange. Rather than me trying to tell you, I think a service officer would be the one that would be better.
Terrific. Let's see if Richard is on line two. Let's go to him first here, guys. Hi, Richard. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, thank you. Gentlemen, sounds like an outstanding program. I'm a two-tour Vietnam vet and retired Army, and I want to know how you have set up to verify that you're actually dealing with a real veteran, not some of the make-believe veterans that have been around for a long time.
Washington, I think, has an answer for you, Richard. Thank you.
We will have the homeless veteran case manager there, a lady by the name of Dina Green Corbett. She will have the capability of accessing a special computer at the Veteran Administration, which can do that based on your Social Security number. So if they don't bring their DD Form 214 or any other identification, then access and the information will be available through their Social Security number. And that will be required before they can come in.
Oh, terrific. Does that help, Richard?
I appreciate that. Sounds like a great program. And if I'm in town, I might be able to come down and help out.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Thank you so much, Richard. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your service, sir. Job opportunities, too, available at the stand down for those folks who are trying to, again, get a re-entry into the real world, if you will. So how is that going to work? Will there be recruiters there or what, Bob?
We've been very fortunate to have a collaborative partnership with Workforce, and through their career development department of Workforce, we're going to have representatives there helping our at-risk veterans, as those that are homeless, about getting a job, job employment, about employment applications, counseling, and as well as opportunity, believe it or not, for resume writing. So they're going to be sharing their expertise in the way of job placement. That is so important today, is to place these veterans in a job, in a job, because that's part of it. We may say, well, I'm not homeless today, but you can be an at-risk veteran due to the economic conditions today. If you lose your job, you're working for the particular state or organization or so, and you receive a pink slip and you're a veteran and then you miss paying for your mortgage or your rent, you're in an at-risk situation. So we are setting up positive parameters for these veterans to reinforce the number one, we want to positively make that shift into the workforce and getting the needed, the needed skills and also the needed knowledge, because knowledge is power. And you cannot go to the next stage in life unless you have knowledge on how to do certain things.
414-1234, the number to call locally for perspectives. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance from you to Tallahassee. And we're back on the phones with Reed. Hey, Reed.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
Just fine. A couple of things real quick. First of all, I want to thank the gentleman for the not only their past service, but for what they're doing now. One observation is, you know, as we compare the Vietnam veteran, the era veteran to today's veteran, it seems that our people have come a lot further than our government. Both our government and our people mistreated the Vietnam vets. It seems like we're much more accepting of the returners from Afghanistan and Iraq, but the government still hasn't learned that. That's why I hope we never commit our forces to war again, while at the same time offering our civilians a $500 billion tax cut. All that being said, now that we've learned what we can do in the short term, I would like the gentleman to comment on what civilians and members of the community can do for this segment of our population in the long term.
Ah, beyond the stand down, then. Washington, what do you think?
Let me go back a bit. we mentioned the word at-risk veterans, which this particular stand down will address as well. It's homeless veterans and at-risk veterans. Let me give you a definition of at-risk veteran. Bob just a few minutes ago mentioned the fact that you could lose your job and you're at risk to being homeless, because in fact you may not have the savings necessary to maintain your lifestyle in the house or apartment or whatever you're in. But my definition, and I'm sure someone else has said a similar type thing, is that you're at risk to homelessness if you are not on the lease or on the deed in the place that you're staying at. And the reason why I say that is that if you're living with your mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, friend, or just a stranger who took you in, you are one disagreement or one argument from being out of there. I don't care if it's your brother or not. If you come in at 2 o'clock in the morning and this is the fourth time you come in and disturb the family, his wife says, Jack is out of here, Jack is out. So Jack is homeless.
That is something that we need to, I think, address in a number of ways because of what's been going on with our Tallahassee shelter, which is now undergoing some, shall we say, some heavy-duty reexamination and perhaps repurposing as we move through that. We have a new facility for homeless folks, the Westgate Community, which is actually undergoing a groundbreaking at this very moment out on Blountstown Highway between Tharp and Tennessee Streets. And we have the Veterans Facility right over here on the south side right across from Tony's Market,
right, on
Lake Bradford Road. So it looks like we're starting to get, as Reed said, more of an awareness that these are needs that have to be met over the long haul as well as the short term.
Well, to Reed, thank you for your comment on that. One of the things you have to do as a citizen of this nation, you have the right to have the Clariton call on an issue. Talk to your politicians. Talk to your clergy. Talk to your business owners. Whatever your passion is, go for it. And let you know that if you have a concern, wherever there's a problem is, that's the challenge. And if you see a problem, you can be the solution. It all starts with one person. And Reed, appreciate you asking that question for the long-range ramifications. This is one of the, not antidote, but it's a step towards eradicating homelessness. The Department of Veterans Administration on the federal level has designated 2015 as the year to eradicate homelessness. That's a big call there. So we need the help of everyone at the sound of my voice, you with your concern and passion for your individuals to get this done. And that's the long range.
And considering what's going on the federal level, we've all heard about the possible making permanent of the sequestration funding levels and all, which hit the active military. It also is hitting veterans programs. We have a congressman in this district, Mr. Congressman Sutherland, who has many military facilities within his district, and that seems to be one of his important priorities. So, you know, you may want to drop a line to the congressman. On the state level, we finally have gotten away from cutting multi-billions of dollars from the Florida budget now. Revenues have kind of caught up with needs to a degree, and it would be time perhaps, since the legislature is in session, to talk to some of those folks if you are inclined to urge them to fully fund the veterans programs that are part of the state overview. I'm sure Mr. Murray would be really, really happy to hear about that. We have him on this show occasionally, too. Talking about the Homeless Veterans Stand Down North Florida Fairgrounds, it's coming up. That will be next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 5th, 6th, and 7th of April. If you're just joining us, so we have Washington Sanchez and Bob Streeter, who are some prime organizers of that event with us. Legal counseling is going to be part of what's being offered at the Stand Down, as well as state photo ID cards. It's surprising the number of folks who do not have a picture ID, which now you need to exist in this society.
That's right.
So that will be available. What other kinds of – it looks – this list is huge, the kinds of services that are going to be available. A one-stop shop, essentially?
Well, basically so. This community is really pulled its heart out, and over 100 organizations, entities are participating. And this is beyond individual volunteers. I'm talking about companies that have donated their services to this particular effort. And so we really, truly think that when you have the court coming in like we'll have on Sunday, on Friday. No, I'll take the back. It's actually on Saturday. Coming in to hear cases of misdemeanor and less than felony charges of individual, that is really big. And we're hoping that will be one of the greatest things that happen with the Stand Down is to see people walk away with their warrants taken care of and they don't have to hide in the woods or in the park and what have you in the future.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
That happens, just from simple things like child support being addressed. People will not even take a job. And see, some of that can be addressed by the judges at the Stand Down, as far as I know. Now, I'm hoping I'm not stepping out of line by saying the judge is going to do everything. They're not going to do everything, but they will be out there holding court, which is huge.
And to clear away, like you said, some outstanding warrants or something else, so these folks don't have to, you know, go hang out in the woods all the time and hope that no one sees them.
Right.
And there's an alarming statistic as well of the growth – but the actuality of women veterans becoming homeless with children. So we're going to be having women and children services and information for them as well. Even therapeutically, we're going to have an animal shelter for care for those who may need a pet, per se, or have a pet. So we have those who dedicated their service in that area to assist them as well. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and you'll see why Tallahassee is an all-American city. Yes. By the compassion that's poured out, the business community rallying behind this homeless veterans stand down. And at the same time, Tallahassee is a Purple Heart city that shows a lot of courage, a lot of what I call loving tenacity to serve humanity.
We talked about during the kickoff, I remember, up at the Capitol, how the initial stand down in San Diego had just over the years exploded to, I mean, talking tens of thousands of people showing up for that. Is that conceivable here? Could we even have that from the get-go? Or do you think it's going to take a couple years to maybe, you know, build into that kind of resource?
Well, it's already started.
I think it's here. I mean,
yes.
when you are able to offer the number of services that will be available, it's we started off thinking that maybe of this listing of probably about 25 or 30, we would be able to do about 10. And we said if we are able to get volunteers, and we're not paying anyone to do any of these services. If we are able to get 10 or 15, we'll be great. We have, you know, farly exceeded that, and it's fantastic the number of people that are involved in this thing. You mentioned pets. We'll have pet therapy being conducted out there in conjunction with FSU and I think TMH will actually do that. That's huge, really.
Yeah, there's one gentleman that I remember. He used to stand up at the corner of Tennessee and Monroe Street, and he had combat fatigues on, and he had the cutest little dog that was with him, and it pulled at your heart, you know, because he was homeless and his little pal was too. We're talking about the upcoming homeless veterans stand down at the North Florida Fairgrounds, which will be April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We have Washington Sanchez and Bob Streeter here with us to talk about it on Perspectives. If you served in the military and you are a veteran, thank you for your service, number one. And number two, have you heard about the stand down? It may be something that you would be interested in attending, either as a volunteer to help out, or you may be in need of some of the services that will be provided right there at the fairgrounds next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during that three-day event. Hot meals for 3 days, showers, clothes, haircuts, court services, legal counseling, medical and mental health services, dental cleaning, and exams. When was the last time you went to the dentist, huh? Something I better check out, too. Housing vouchers, state photo ID cards, job and employment opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why Washington Sanchez and Bob Streeter are here with us right now. Colonel, getting back to David's thing, we were just talking there while we were down for a moment. The gentleman who was concerned about the Agent Orange roster, he's a Vietnam-era vet, and apparently he was charged. Someone made him pay money saying that they could put him on the roster.
There is no requirement to pay anything to be evaluated, and that's something that the VA will do for him free of charge. And there are predetermined ailments that has resulted from Agent Orange that, and I'll just name one or two of them. Type 2 diabetes is if you were exposed one day in Vietnam and you have type 2 diabetes, you may be eligible for not only treatment at the VA, but also disability determination, which could be compensation funds for you.
Okay, that leads us to the topic then, because I actually saw this on TV. I just remembered it a moment ago. where it said, "Veterans, thank you for your service. You may be eligible for this and that and these and those, and here's a number to call and a website to log on to, and we can provide you help in accessing the benefits that you deserve." And I'm thinking immediately, scam.
Scam, because our veteran service officers who are actually paid by people like the DAV, the American Legion, the Purple Heart, they provide those services free. In addition to the county have a service officer. In our case, Connie. Jan's going to get me for not getting mentioning her name right.
But we love
but
you,
we
Jan.
But we have service officers that are paid by Energies to do that, and the veteran is not charged one penny.
Yeah, buyer beware on that. Reminds me of some of the things that used to happen outside of military bases where you'd have, you know, those payday loan things and the, just all kinds of stuff that would prey on active duty military personnel that I thought, someone's got to put a stop to that.
Right.
Crazy stuff. We want to mention the website, too, for FloridaVeteransFoundation.org. That is the whole website there. One word, FloridaVeteransFoundation.org, and that will put you in touch with a lot more information about the upcoming stand down taking place at the North Florida Fairgrounds. This whole thing about PTSD, we talked about that, Washington, a little bit ago, that's hard for the average person to understand. It's like, okay, we get it. You were in a combat zone and you saw horrible, terrible things, but you're back home now. The pressure is off. You're safe. It's okay. Why do you still have a problem?
That's a good question. I lived for many years thinking that was exactly the case. You just forget about it and it doesn't affect you. But that's not the case. Your brain is like a computer and it's all stored in the back of your brain. And soon as something else happened, for an example, folks that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder suffer because of the triggers that happen around them every day. I mean, I can detect a Huey helicopter flying in the area at any time, any place, inside or outside. And that triggers back to my service in Vietnam. And that's how it happened. So you now remember something from Vietnam, and you are now dealing with the horrors of what happened in Vietnam. And that's what happens with post-traumatic stress. And so until you get counseling, until you understand that you have triggers, and it's okay to have these triggers, it's okay to have flashbacks, it's okay to have nightmares, what have you. But you need to control them. You need to know how to control them. And sometimes it takes medication to do that, and that's okay as well. But a lot of people are suffering from post-traumatic stress that have no idea that they can get treated. And incidentally, you can also get a disability for it and get compensation for it as well. And that's important. And a lot of people have gotten as high as 100%. Because of post-traumatic stress, it's been that difficult in their life. They're alcoholics, they're drugs, they're on medication that they really don't need to be really on, and depression. I mean, the number of veterans that are committing suicide today is unbelievable. And they are some of the young people, and they are the Vietnam era as well. Well, we're talking about a high percentage of our people still, Vietnam veterans, that are still committing suicide because of their experience in Vietnam and their lack of acceptance, their lack of support. That's why we really need to be doing things like the Stand Down, getting people together, allowing people to realize that there's a support base out there, and it's us, not only the veterans, but also the community, because this community in Tallahassee are wrapping their arms around veterans, and I think that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, and Bob Streeter, I was thinking it's sort of analogous to that situation where you have someone that is in combat and maybe gets separated from the unit, and they're out there by themselves, and it looks like the end, and suddenly there are your buddies, and they're pulling you back. They're getting you to safety. Is this kind of the same type of thing you're trying to do with the Stand-Down?
I can remember early in my military career when I was going through basic training, and one of the things the drill sergeant said so eloquently, you take care of the person on your left and right, and they're going to take care of you and also take care of what's in front of you. And what he was saying, in essence, we are responsible for one another. I was very young during the Vietnam War, but I saw the repercussions of my relatives, my uncles, coming back with drug addiction, fighting suicide tendencies, all because of being in combat. This is a way where if you're not a combat veteran, we are still one as a group, as a fraternity per se, of veterans, because we have women in the military together, but we're all together as a team. And the war is not complete until we can be able to pull one another together. And that's so important. So with this stand down, this is an opportunity where we're going back. Literally, we have gone in the woods. Here in Tallahassee, there's a particular camp a lot of people don't even know about. There's a camp where people are living out in the woods. And I had the opportunity on a different occasion than the colonel to walk through the woods when I was going through the Citizens Academy through the Leon County Sheriff Department. And the conditions were deplorable. You think you're in a third world nation. Cans, a person that needed medical condition. You can see open wounds. And this is right in our own backyard. And we cannot put our heads in the sand and say, well, they'll get over it. Somebody's got to listen to the Claritin call and say, look, I'm going to do whatever I can to help. And particularly if you're a veteran and you serve this country, that's part of your job, to help one another.
Yeah, because you never leave a buddy behind.
Never leave a buddy behind.
Yeah, that's number one. And really, if you are a veteran, if you served and you would like to help out, you certainly can do that. Still recruiting volunteers for all kinds of things, also clothing, toiletries, anything to help out.
Volunteers.
And volunteers, absolutely. And again, let's get the contact information out there so folks will know.
Cash is always accepted.
Oh, cash is always accepted, too. Okay.
Yeah, we are 501C. We are a 501C organization. When I say we, the Florida Veterans Foundation, we are in need of donations. A lot of people have been very generous in that area. So we're always looking for more donations because to have the capital C in compassion, you need capital.
I like that, which it also stands for cash.
That's right.
It's always the right size and the right color, which is really great.
That's right.
Yeah. NorthFloridaStandDown.org. That also is a web address that you should check out here for a comprehensive overview of what's going to be happening during the North Florida Stand Down coming up on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. That is next week. Started with the San Diego Stand Down back in 1988. That seemed like a good idea at the time. And suddenly it becomes one of the primary events in the entire nation as far as being a one-stop shop for all kinds of services relating to veterans. And I love this one picture that's in the brochure, Washington, that you gave me here, the San Diego State. It looks like a camp from the Nam era. It looks like something, you know, in the front lines of Da Nang or something. It really does.
And unfortunately, we will not be able to duplicate that because we will not have the OD green tents that they had, and surprisingly enough, the military no longer have tents like that. It so happened that a lot of the tents that were used in the military got deployed over in Iraq and over there, and they were contaminated, so they didn't bring them back. And so now with deployments, they deploy over onto those tents and they leave them. They leave them in locations. So therefore, they're not available for us to use like the San Diego people have been using for years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, does that explain then why the military surplus market on so many things has dried up, that they're kind of leaving it in place? Or?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. I was wondering about that. Yeah, I used to get most of my clothes at, like, you know, military surplus thrift shops and stuff because it lasts forever. It's great stuff.
One thing I wanted to share, we have a lot of young people in the Tallahassee area that's really fired up. You know, John Wesley had a quote. He said, if you burn with enthusiasm, people will come and watch you burn. One of those. But anyway, Florida State University Collegiate Veterans Association on campus of Florida State University. The group of young people, not only they're academic scholars, they're service veterans, they're really 300 strong at the ready to participate in this homeless veteran stand down. So I applaud all the young people. They've been tweeting. They've been going to their individual websites, posting pictures, getting everyone excited. So we're just excited about them having that enthusiasm.
The collegiate veterans, they're very strong in this
very
area.
Very strong.
Particularly at Florida State, which has made a concerted program to become the most veteran-friendly campus in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a new veteran center that's being built in conjunction with the World War II Museum over there, and that's really exciting too. So,
yeah.
But you're right. It really takes a full court press on the part of both the veterans and the civilian communities in
yes.
order to make this work. So
right.
I could tell just by looking at your faces, you guys know this is going to fly, that this is going to be a wonderful thing.
We have the community. We have both the county and the city, the mayor has wrapped his arms around us doing a PSA, and we are so excited. I cannot wait to see this many civilians support veterans, and not only the homeless and at-risk veterans, the volunteers. A lot of those guys will be veterans, and they will benefit from seeing what this community is doing and also learning some of the things that the Veteran Affairs can provide themselves. And it's wonderful. I mean, I've learned so much about VA since just really being involved directly with the foundation since about May last year. I mean, it's been phenomenal. I mean, I almost pinch myself sometimes when I start talking to a person and talking about all the benefits that I don't have and that I knew nothing about less than a year ago.
Well, this may become even more of a necessity as we get more and more veterans in town here with the upcoming VA clinic, the big expanded clinic.
Sure.
Yes. So we will become a center of veterans activity then.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, 1.2 million veterans are not getting treated by VA. Okay? So here's an opportunity to get those people involved. And so as they get more involved, there's more money that will come to the city. And we'll be able to start, you know, and man that particular new center first class because we'll have the veterans there who need the service and who will get the service because, you know, they'll have the support.
And also I wanted to mention the school system. We had opportunity to speak to the superintendent, and he's been so gracious to have the kids to bring home information about the stand down because they have some of the relatives or grandpas or grandmas that have served in the military. So the school system has come aboard as well and taking just a tremendous effort in helping us in that. So I just want to applaud the superintendent. Jackie Pons and his staff and all that have helped us in this endeavor.
And also bringing perhaps to a wider awareness just exactly what it's like to have a military veteran in the family because with the advent of the all-volunteer military, it's not like Washington back in our day with the draft when everybody knew somebody mm-hmm. who had been active military. Mm-hmm. Now it's a much smaller part right. of the population, and you can go through life and not meet anyone who has served.
Yeah,
really.
That's true. And but what I say also this community have got to do is it's a look around, and all of us know an at-risk veteran. You know someone who's a veteran who is living with the mother, the sister, brother, somebody like that. That veteran deserves a home of his own. He should not be there because he's at risk of being homeless. And that's one of the things that we can help resolve, and that's what we're working to do.
Yeah, you just pick up that person, you bring him to the stand down and say, hey.
We're going to help you get a home.
That's right. We're going to go check out what all
every, is coming. Every little bit helps, you know, with the vision. Imagine this. We have some of the top academic schools here in the Tallahassee area. And each of those schools have a specific skill, like at Tallahassee Community College where they are building and learning carpentry. someone could come up with the idea and say, look, let's build a home that is efficient for our homeless veterans and house them in that. Could you imagine that? That's a little entrepreneurship vision there to say, look, we have the expertise here in Tallahassee. Let's take it to a whole new level. We can develop a community. Not just to say that, okay, we're just going to put you in this place or in a corner, but be able to integrate it in a community with homes that are efficient and let people live their lives the best way they can. And that would be a great salute to our veterans to use the resources that we have and the ingenuity that we have in this great city.
And to help also to utilize the terrific potential that is within every single veteran.
Exactly.
And yeah. One of the things that we'll be doing, Lively Texas Center will actually be building some things out at the stand now. Matter of fact, they're building the stage that the kids will use in the kid care. And so they'll get a chance to see veterans who are in that program actually build something. Some of them will participate with them. So it's that kind of cooperation with our universities and colleges that we're doing.
Well, Colonel Washington Sanchez, thank you for building what I'm sure is going to be a terrific legacy for this community, along with you, Reverend.
Thank you.
Bob,
we salute you.
We salute you, gentlemen, too, and we'll see you at the stand down next week. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls handling the phones and online connections today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us again next week for more expert opinion and your input right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.